Well, good day and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani. We're going to ask you to sit it out as far as phone participation today, but don't sit it out in terms of your listenership, because we have what we believe is going to be a wonderful broadcast on this first day of the new year. Happy New Year, the Feast of Mary, Mother of the Church. And we have our special guest joining us here today. It's Monsignor Charles Pope, a priest of the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. He is the pastor of Holy Comforter, St. Cyprian Catholic Church. And he spends a lot of time in Catholic media, giving lectures across America, and has attracted many readers from across the globe through the internet. His website, in fact, Monsignor Pope, msgrpope.com, is one that I can highly recommend that you check out. Again, that's monsignorpope.com. Monsignor, welcome to Take Two. Welcome back to the program, I should say.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, Debbie, it's good to have our good friend, Monsignor Pope, back with us.
I know. I want to wish him a happy new year, Monsignor. We're so excited to start 2026, especially for you to begin the year for our Take Two family. And we thought, we've got to have Monsignor Charles Pope with us and talking about the Feast of Mary, Mother of God, how it got positioned on the calendar. Give us the history, Monsignor. Mm-hmm. You are so great at this, because not only are you a radio host and a speaker, you are an incredible author. You have written so many books, and we have learned so much from you, and we're so grateful. And so this new year, we always want to start it off and just hit the ground running. So Monsignor, why do we celebrate this feast on January 1st? Why is it a holy day of obligation? I think I know, but I want you to share with the whole Take Two family.
Yeah, it's in celebration of the Council of Ephesus that in 431 declared Mary to be Mother of God. I'll talk about that more in a moment. But very early on, this feast was assigned to January 1st, shortly after the Great Declaration. It is said that at the Council of Ephesus, when it was declared that Mary is Mother of God, the celebrations in the streets among the faithful went on for several days. So there was great celebration at the declaration of this doctrine, this dogma. Now, later on in the church's history, this feast was supplanted by the feast of the circumcision of the Lord, which took place on the eighth day. And at that time, in the early Middle Ages, the church seemed to say, "Well, let's follow on the eighth day some very important teaching that Christ is circumcised. He takes up the law, so to speak, and he the first shedding of his blood. We see that also his name is declared aloud for the first time. Oh, I say, Jesus, there's just something about that name. No other name given under all heaven and earth by which we can be saved than that of Jesus." So, again, those were glorious things. And for those reasons, the church in the early Middle Ages decided to move the Feast of Mary, Mother of God, to November, and put the Feast of the Circumcision. Well, here in this place. Well, in 1970... they decided in the church's calendar to go back to the more ancient tradition of moving this. So every now and again, we get into these debates about tradition and what's more old and what's more traditional. And it's just a little paradoxical, isn't it, that the new missal actually reflects an older tradition and the old missal, beautiful as it is, but reflects a more recent tradition, at least in church years. So anyway, that's why it's on January 1st. And what I want to say is that this teaching, what is it about? Why is it important? Well, in a way, what we're asking in the Christmas season and in the early weeks of ordinary time as well is, who is Jesus Christ? Now, one of the answers, of course, is that he is God. Now, in the early church, of course, they had to hammer out the doctrines of the hypostatic union, how Jesus has two natures, but is one person. He's both fully human and fully divine, but he unites that mysteriously in one person. There's not two people in there. That'd be schizophrenic. But at the end of the day, we do see that one person having two natures. Now, and therefore declaring Mary the Mother of God, what the church is teaching is as much about Jesus as it is about Mary. Why is Mary rightfully called the Mother of God? Because Jesus is God. He has the fullness of the divine nature, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Each of them have the fullness of the divine nature. And yet he also joins to himself this human nature, but in one person, one hypostasis, right? One person. And Mary gives birth to a person, not just to one part of a person. Let's put it this way. If I were ever to go to my mother and say, well, you gave birth to my body, but not my soul, she'd slap me. And I would deserve it, because we don't talk like that. We don't divide up, first of all, ourselves that way, but we certainly don't divide our mother up that way. Mary is the mother of Jesus. Jesus has a human and a divine nature in the one person. She gives birth then to God, and therefore is rightly titled the Mother of God, because Jesus is God. So this is as much a teaching about Jesus as it is about Mary. And so that's kind of a quick sketch out of what the feast is about and why and how we celebrate it on January 1st.
Well, we're going to delve more deeply into this with Monsignor Charles Pope here on this special pre-recorded broadcast of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on this New Year's Day. Happy New Year to all of you. And we hope that the year gets off to a great start for you, but that it's just a blessed and grace-filled year for you. Our jumping off topic is, you know, the feast day that we celebrate today, Mary, Mother of God. Like I said, we'll talk more about that with Monsignor Pope. We're going to get ready to hit the pause button here, Monsignor, in just a quick second, but we have a lot of, there are, I think some studies have shown there are about 25, 30, 40% of listeners of Catholic radio are not Catholic, at least on certain occasions. And I always like to really boil this down to the way you just described it, Monsignor, and that is, it's a very simple mathematical equation. Mary is the mother of Jesus. Jesus is God. Mary is the mother of God. And sometimes even Catholics, you know, we don't understand this. We overcomplicate this. We don't keep it simple, but it really is, like you said, the early church had to hammer these things out, and there were contentious debates and battles and fights and all kinds of things to develop the Christological doctrines that we have in the church today. But the doctrine of Mary, Mother of God, is about Jesus and his divinity. We're going to talk more about that when we come back here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. A lot that we're going to get into with Monsignor Pope. So if you're able to, stay with us here for the entire broadcast today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We'll be right back.
We're so glad you're listening to Take Two on this New Year's Day. Happy New Year. We made it, you guys, to 2026. And our special guest today is the one, the only, Monsignor Charles Pope. We know him. We love him. We trust him. And we get to talk all about this beautiful, this feast day, Mary, Mother of God, our spiritual mother. And we're going to be asking Monsignor Pope about how we can bring Mary into our spiritual lives, how we can really make this the best year ever. But before we get back to our great conversation, everybody sit back. You can't call in today, okay? You'll be able to call in tomorrow, and we'll continue the way the Take Two rolls with all the calls that come in. But today, you just get to listen. This is brand new, pre-recorded content just for you to kick off the new year. But always remember this, you guys, because this is super exciting too. Day one of SEEK 2026. It's a five-day experience where thousands of Catholics come together to encounter Christ through prayer, adoration, the sacraments, and inspiring speakers. It's a chance to focus on what matters most, grow in authentic community, and be transformed in your faith. EWTN Radio brings you live coverage each evening, live from Columbus, Ohio. And it's tonight, 6:30 Eastern, where we're featuring the Women's Concurrent Session with Father Josh Johnson. So SEEK is very important, and it's another great opportunity to have EWTN have the coverage of it, so we can actually virtually participate, Jerry.
Amen. Well, our guest is Monsignor Charles Pope today. And Monsignor, back to, you know, Our Lady here for at least a few more minutes, and talking about her as Mother of Jesus, being God, of course, Mother of God. Talk about, you know, how we sometimes don't really quite understand. It's hard to wrap our heads around how to relate to Mary, how to you know, receive her as our spiritual mother and so forth. And the analogy I like to make is a lot of people sometimes think of Mary as kind of like the rocket that takes the space shuttle out into space. You know, once the shuttle is has been released, you know, it just kind of falls back to Earth and its job is over, you know. But our Lady's role is just so intimately intertwined with that of Jesus.
Yeah, amen. You know, maybe to put it this way, let's postulate maybe a different option that God could have just come to Earth as a full-grown man, just popped up out of nowhere, started walking around and grabbing disciples and so on. But rather, no, God, who could have done that, chose not to. Although he did not have an earthly father, he chose to have Jesus, an earthly mother. And so in choosing this, Jesus, God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are saying, look, Mary's role is important. And so important was it that the angel Gabriel comes to her and in a way seeks her permission, her assent to this great plan of God to work through her. And it is, and she agrees, as we know, God, you know, may God bless every word of it. Fiat mihi, you know, be it done unto me according to thy word. And so she agrees, and she bears Christ. Now, think about all the things, though, that she did for Jesus. And remember, we are members of the body of Christ because of our baptism. So when we refer to his body, we're somehow mystically present, but she forms him, his human nature within her, again, by God's grace, forms his human nature, gives birth to him, nurses him, does all the things that a mother does for a child, continues to feed and so on. He, Jesus, entrusted himself to her care. He lay quietly in her womb for 9 months and then in her arms. And it is Mary who first showed Jesus both the Jewish people through the shepherds and so on, and also to the nations through the Magi. Where did they find Jesus? In Mary's arms, right close there. They find him with Mary. And this there's another version or another event that speaks of this. Also, the wedding feast at Cana. It is a very daring gospel. I mean, think about it. I mean, Jesus is approached by his mother about the fact that they don't have no more wine. And he says, he's very put offish. He says, you know, genau, woman, tia moi kai soy. What does this have to do with you and me? And it's a very standoffish comment. It's like, no. You know, kind of like that. But I don't know what happened. But I'm just going to say that she must have given him a look like only a mother can do. Something happened because she doesn't take it as anything else other than, okay, I've told him the need, and she stands aside and just says to the stewards, do whatever he tells you. She leaves it up. She doesn't tell him what to do, but she entrusts it to him. But here's the really daring part of the gospel. He doesn't just say, what's that got to do with you and me? He says, my hour has not yet come. Well, apparently it has. And Mary is sort of leads him into that. Now, that's a very daring gospel, especially for Protestants. They don't like to hear that Mary would have somehow, you know, had any authority with Christ, or at least, you know, moral authority to say, well, son, maybe it is time. Maybe it's time now. And we know the upshot of the gospel, which was that many who saw this miracle, in other words, he made 150 gallons of this stuff, and that was a, you know, major miracle. And then his disciples began to believe in him on account of this miracle. And Mary just steps aside, just says, whatever my son tells you, do it. And so Mary's role consistently is to both show Christ, reveal Christ, but she also had a role in as a mother does, leading him. Now, again, not in some unsubordinate way. He is God. But nevertheless, I'll just say it again. It is a daring gospel. And so if you want to understand Mary's role, she's not just a Christmas ornament that we put out and then we discard it because she's no longer relevant. She continues. She's with him at the foot of the cross. We see her role in the book of Revelation as part of the being caught up in principle in that great battle against Satan that God undertakes. And that woman clothed with the sun has a critical role. She's not just a Christmas ornament. And so Mary is key, and she continues to do what she did, namely to show us Christ. If Christ came into to us to us through Mary, then we go back to Christ through Mary. And she facilitates this in the grace of her, of her all the charisms that and beautiful graces that God gave her. So I'm, as usual, talking too long. I'll step back.
Oh,
and
no, not at all.
Rephrase.
Yeah, yeah, we could listen to you forever. You could keep going. But Monsignor, you started the beginning of this segment where you said that, you know, God could have just come down as a grown man and just start walking around and grabbing apostles and everything. Mm-hmm. Is it also because he chose not to do it that way because he loves the cooperation that we bring to the whole story? And he's all about relationships. If you look at the Trinity, I mean, it's so difficult to explain the Trinity to people, but it's all about relationships.
It is, yeah. You know, I always say this, that, there's... God really does. He loves human, you know, our relationships and wants to work. It's amazing. I wouldn't trust the mess. Jesus never wrote a book. What are you crazy? He better write everything down because the apostles might not get it right. Well, he said, no. I formed this community of apostles, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who will remind them of all I said and did and inspire them to write what's necessary for our salvation. But at the end of the day, he could have just micromanaged the whole thing. But what he does is he forms relationships. It's a beautiful image. I first learned about Jesus from my parents. He depended on my parents to introduce him to me. And so, yes, at that level, relationships. Now, when it comes to the Trinity, you're right. Everything is about relationships in the Trinity because God is love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't just love all by yourself. You love is shared. And so... it's a beautiful image of the Trinity that I like. The Eastern churches speak of the perichoresis, which is the movement or dance. It's literally dance in Greek, perichoresis, the dance of love between the members of the Trinity, so that the Father loves the Son loves the Father, and this movement of love between them is the third person, who then again, this thing begins to spirate, and it's a great, great dance of love and joy. And God creates the angels and invites them to the dance. And then he creates us and also calls and invites us to the great dance of his love, so that the Trinity is not just some sort of static, you know, an old man and a slightly younger man and a bird sitting up there kind of looking out over things. It's a very dynamic power and dance of love. And we are called to be caught up into that. So bless the Lord. Tell you.
Bless the Lord indeed. This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Happy New Year again to the Take Two family. We'll be back live with you again tomorrow. And Monsignor, if we can, I think a couple of things that you've been talking about already can kind of dovetail a little bit, and that is, you know, Mary, our relationship with her, and the Trinity being all about relationships, because she has a glorious relationship with each person of the Trinity. It's each of those relationships is unique. But if you could talk a little bit about each of those relationships and how she is kind of our perfect model and guide to relate to the Trinity.
Yeah, you know, it's she's, of course, we refer to her as the spouse of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And this great overshadowing, this from the ancient Hebrew, the Shekinah, the glory cloud of God. So the Spirit overshadows her, and she brings forth Christ into her womb. She conceives in her womb, and so we see that she relates to the Holy Spirit as a spouse, and she also relates, obviously, to the Father as her Father, and she's also his daughter. She's also, of course, obviously the mother of God, the mother of Jesus. But in a certain sense, too, we don't want to forget that she's also a disciple, as are we. And but in, obviously in a very particular way to her. But again, she is, yes, his mother, but also the greatest disciple of all. Jesus says this as much when someone praised, he said, bless the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. And he said, well, even more so, the one who follows my word. Mm-hmm. And so he praises his mother in a beautiful way there by saying, yes, she's a great mother, and she's also a great disciple.
Wow. Powerful. Monsignor Charles Pope is our guest today on Take Two on this New Year's Day, and we are just so excited to have him for the entire hour because we get to ask him questions that you guys actually have come up with from 2025 last year. And so we thought it was just so perfect to start the new year off with Monsignor Charles Pope, who we just love the way he communicates the message. So Monsignor, let me ask you a question, because you're a wonderful priest and pastor. What do you say to people when they come to you privately and they say, you know, Monsignor, I just don't feel close to the Blessed Mother. I don't know where to put her in my spiritual life. I don't know what to do. I feel like if I go to her, I'm rejecting or going around Jesus. What do you say to them, Monsignor?
Well, I might say to someone who speaks in that manner, well, then go to Jesus and let him lead you to Mary. I mean, because look, why do I love Mary? Why do I entrust myself to her care? Why do I have a tenderness toward her? Why do I give her honor and respect? Because Jesus did all of that. And I want to be just like Jesus. And so Jesus, oh, I tell you, you've got to get to know my mother. I mean, she's all the world to me. She just took care of me. She did everything for me, and she'll do the same for you. Another image maybe I would ask people to consider, this image we have of the body of Christ. St. Paul points out to us that because of our baptism, we're made members of the body of Christ, individually members. And he takes this mystical body and says, you know, therefore, when Christ died, you died. When Christ was buried, you were buried together with him. And when he rose, you rose with him to new life. And again, so in other words, all those historical events that we think, well, that happened over 2,000 years ago, and I didn't even exist. Well, that's not quite true. The Lord says, I've always known you. Before I ever formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, thought about you, prepared for you. So again, we were already in the mystical body of Christ. So when Mary's holding Christ in her arms and nourishing him at her breast, somehow mystically, I'm there, and you're there, we're there, being held by Mary. And when she holds up Jesus for, again, to be seen, somehow mystically, we're there too, because we're a member of his body. And just as when Christ died, we died, when he was buried, we were buried, and when he rose, we rose, well, again, imagine yourself just, anytime you see a picture of Mary holding Jesus in her arms, she's holding you too. And so that might be a way to begin to say, wow, and when Mary took care of Christ, she was taking care of me. And when she urged him on to his public ministry, she was urging me too. So again, I know this is hard for people to get their mind around, but remember, God lives outside of time. He lives in the fullness of time. You know, if I'm still alive 20 years from now, that day is already present to God. He knows everything I'm going to say and do on that very day. As is the day I was born and all the other things that preceded even my birth. I mean, God knew everything about me. He's always in present. God is not waiting. There's nothing past to God. There's nothing future. Everything is now. And therefore, when Christ is on that cross, we're up there with him. And again, and so on. When Christ goes into the waters to be baptized later on this month, we go in there with him. He didn't go for his sake. He went for the sake of all of his members of his body so that we could be baptized. So I hope that's not too explosive in terms of, you know, it can kind of sound like a lot to process, but I would start there. You know, go to Jesus, let him lead you to Mary, and then also ponder as Mary is holding Jesus in her arms, she's holding you too.
That is so beautiful. Monsignor Charles Pope is sharing from his heart, from so much of our understanding, the Church's teachings and the spirituality regarding the Blessed Virgin Mary on this beautiful feast of Mary, Mother of God, January 1st. Happy New Year, a new year getting underway, 2026. Glad you're starting it with listening to EWTN and Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. It is a taped broadcast. We're not taking your live calls today, but so much more that we're going to get into with Monsignor Pope. We'll branch out a little bit from our discussion about our Blessed Mother to some other things as well. So if you're able to stay with us, please do so. We will be right back right after this short pause. Thanks for sticking with us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. talking with Monsignor Charles Pope, a priest of the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., and well-known on his for his radio and television work, Catholic media, including right here on EWTN. Before we maybe move in any other different direction, Monsignor, there was one other thing I wanted to maybe get your thoughts on with Our Lady, and that is sometimes we can think of her as being this, and she is. She's a loving mother, a softy, you know, all of this stuff. But but she is, you know, when it comes to her children, we sometimes think if we're tempted, if we sin, you know, we've offended her, we can't go to her. I think the reality is, though, she is tenaciously fighting for us to stay on the path that her son has chosen for us. So she's a protector, and she just fights for us. Can you talk about that for a minute, how spiritually powerful she is?
Yeah, she's to go to the question of mercy, she's the mother of mercy. Jesus is mercy itself, and she's the mother of mercy. So how can she be any less merciful if we sin or do something? What we come to her, and she again helps us. And the first thing I'm sure she'll say is, well, look, if it's serious, let's get you to Jesus, get to confession, you know. But I would also say, you know, we tend to sentimentalize Mary if we're not careful. And it's good to be sentimental. But we also have to remember, she's a mother, and my mother could be tough on me. And so can Mary. You know, a lot of her more recent apparitions here in the last couple centuries have been pretty full of admonition. She says, look, you're either going to pray and you'll avoid war, or you're not, and you're going to suffer. And my son is concerned for all of you, but you've got to come back to faith, and you've got to begin to pray the rosary, and you got to stay close to God. And you'll either do that and thrive, or you won't, and you'll perish. And of course, she speaks to us as a mother, so we need to take her seriously as well. And so I would say we want to always remember the great love that both Jesus and Mary have for us, as well as God the Father and the Holy Spirit. They you know, again, all of the Trinity, but also Mary and all the saints have a great love, but they love us enough to speak truth to us. And so respecting Mary, I think, is important too, but always feel great about going to her if you've struggled, and she'll give you that motherly compassion that only a mother can do.
Yeah, the power of the Most Holy Rosary. So many that pray the rosary every day, they feel like they are definitely holding Mary's hand, which is so important in their spiritual walk. Monsignor, I got a couple things. You talked about Marian apparitions. Now, I know they're a private revelation, but, you know, it's interesting you brought that up, because just recently I saw a couple YouTube videos on Fatima where they were talking about, you know, the secrets and, you know, what was in the secrets. Secrets and all these kinds of things. And I know, again, it's private revelation, but they were very specific about how our Blessed Mother was very, you know, she was pretty definite and rigid about how we are supposed to really take on our faith and view God and receive Him in Most Holy Communion and really there was. It made me, I loved it, don't get me wrong, I loved it, but it also made me a little bit nervous, because I was like, wow, this is very difficult. I mean, so can you talk a little bit about that? Because I know you wrote the book, The Hell There Is, you know, so obviously a lot of people, you know, they're thinking about what's going to happen for all of eternity if you're going to end up in heaven or purgatory or hell. But can you speak a little bit about that? I mean, how much of it is in our intention and from our heart? And then how much is it how we have to conduct ourselves?
Yeah, well, like, again, I think that, you know, my mother, for example, could be very kind and compassionate to me, but she couldn't take away reality. So my mom had to say, I know Charlie's hard for you. It's the first day of kindergarten. I know you're scared, but it's going to be fine. And we're going now. No, but mom, no, I don't. But no, we've got to go. Come on. Let's go. Let's do this. And likewise, again, you know, at other times in my life, you know, my mother could be very kind to me, but she also had to say, look, you shouldn't have talked back to your teacher like that. You can't just take away reality, you know. And even Mary and Jesus, who is God, who could, quote, take away reality, doesn't, because, again, he sets up an order that we are to learn from. He's a God of order. And so anyway, the point being with all this is that we have to always understand that the greatest gift that any parent can give a child is to introduce them to reality and help them toughen them up for it a little and to say, guess what? It's not all peachy out there. There's going to be troubles. You got to stay centered. And don't you ever forget that you're my son or you're my daughter or, you know, don't you ever forget that. But I tell you, you will go out there and you will have troubles. But trouble don't last always. And so I think a good mother is like that. And Mary is a good mother. And so she'll warn us. And again, you know, I think of the rosary. She basically is saying, look, we're at war. Mm. Read Revelation chapter 12, you know. Satan goes after the woman clothed with the sun. That's Mary. Historically, that's Mary. And she's also an image for the church there. But the devil's going after her, and she's fighting against him by God's grace. And at the end of the day, we're at war. And so I think a mother has to say, any mother has to say to their children, you know, there are battles to fight in life, and be strong because you're my son and I love you and I want you to do good things, you see. And so that's, I think, at the end of the way there. I would also say the rosary, I think of it like a 50-round clip. You know, St. Padre Pio says that the rosary is the weapon of our times, and this is how we first and foremost engage the battle. I think it's there's another internet person who says this better than I, but if you're not praying the rosary, you're not on the team. So in other words, we have to really acknowledge that we have to join in the battle. So take that 50-round clip, pray those Hail Marys like spiritual bullets directed against the kingdom of Satan, and to drive him back and bring in the kingdom of light. And so the rosary is a weapon. It's not just prayer beads. It's also a weapon to wield against darkness.
Mm-hmm. Monsignor Charles Pope giving us his time very graciously today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN as a pre-recorded broadcast, our New Year's Day show. And we're so glad that you are with us, spending this part of your day with us. And maybe just staying on the Blessed Mother for another moment or two, Monsignor, just in a practical sense, you mentioned the importance of the rosary. We talk a lot on this show about consecrating ourselves to Jesus through Mary, mm-hmm. things like this.
Yes.
What are just some other practical things we can do just to learn to relate to her as our mother, to put our trust in her, and to know that she is going to always, like you said earlier, lead us to her son and help her son's will unfold for our lives?
Yeah. I think, first of all, I want to also emphasize true devotion to Mary by St. Louis-Marie de Montfort, and how many saints and popes and others have taken that up seriously and have found, you know, their lives very definitely changed for the better in entrusting ourselves. We go to Jesus through Mary. And he, too, is daring at times, so much so that some of the modernists and all just blew him away and said he's a nut. But, you know, if you're going to call me a fool, at least call me a fool for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that said, he's saying here that, again, that we should entrust ourselves to Mary, and this is in all of our prayers, and just go to her, and she'll bring us to Jesus in a more perfect way than we could ever get there on our own. And remember, that's how Jesus came to us. He chose that, to come through her. Well, he'll continue to choose to do that, too. He'll continue to come to us through her. So that's beautiful. Another thing I want to say, of course, pray the rosary daily. The wearing of the scapular is a very important thing to just remind yourself of your devotion to Mary. And my scapular itches every now and again. It's wool, and I've got a, you know, sometimes I feel back and I start itching. I say, oh, that's the Blessed Mother tapping me on the shoulder. but also that's a way of saying that. Do that. I would also certainly encourage, when you pray the rosary, remember, again, it's not just saying repetitious prayers. You're meditating. The rosary is the gospel on a string. And Mary tells us the story like any good mother and repeats the stories of our salvation and those mysteries. And I know not everybody's wild about the luminous mysteries, but I love them. They're just wonderful addition to these things. And so I would say do that. And then I also have developed a devotion I've actually, I'd have to send it to you under separate cover, but I developed a rosary based on Lady Wisdom in the Book of Proverbs and in Sirach and Wisdom and so on. And I take all these things that are mentioning about Lady Wisdom, and I put them in a rosary so that we pray all these verses, and we consider that Mary is really that beautiful image of wisdom, Lady Wisdom. And so I have found that very helpful. And I'll send that to you under separate cover if you'd like.
Okay. Is it on your website, Monsignor? I don't know if
it is on my blog. Yeah.
Oh, it's on your blog. Okay. So you, Take Two family can find Monsignor Pope at monsignorpope.com, and it's msgrpope.com, and you can see all of his works there and his radio and television hosting that he does and everything that he does for all of us. But Monsignor, it's so interesting, as you were speaking about all these practical ways for us to bring Mary into our spiritual life, I love how you said the luminous mysteries. I'm so much in agreement with you. Every time on Thursday when I pray the luminous mysteries, I thank John Paul too so very much, because to be able to meditate on the ministry life of Jesus and to finish with that fifth mystery of the institution of the Eucharist, I mean, it's a source and summit of our Christian life. I mean, it's just incredible how that is a way we can pray. It's so interesting, as you were speaking, Monsignor, and I've said this before, Jerry knows this because we've talked about it many times. And he had the ministry vocation boom, supporting, you know, priestly vocations for 10 years. It's and I got to guest host a few times on his show. And it's so interesting. You can always tell the difference. Why is it, Monsignor? You can always tell the difference with priests that love Our Lady and have brought her into their vocation. And then if you encounter priests that just, they don't really know where to place Mary, they're a very different type of priest. I'm not trying to criticize any of the priests, but it's very obvious to me. Why is that? Because I notice that I tend to gravitate towards the Marian priests.
Yeah. Well, I think it's partly because of what we would call, I put it under the title, formation. Now, think about a family. God says that marriage is one man for one woman till death do them part, bearing fruit in their children. Now, that definition of marriage is important for two reasons. First of all, it's necessary for children to exist, but it's also what is best for children. And not just that they have two parents, but that they have a father and a mother. And the father teaches them the masculine genes of being human, and the mother teaches them the feminine genius of being human. And so this helps to form them better, in a much better way, psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, so that there's one humanity, but we come in two kind. And don't worry about those other 50 L whatever in the, you know, the alphabet stuff. We have two sexes. We have male and female. And again, in marriage, we see that this is how children are best formed. In our culture, you know, a lot of fathers are absent or missing, and there's a lot of problems that come from that, both for young men and young women who don't have a father present. But again, to not have a mother present is also very problematic too. So if that's the case in the natural order, the natural family, doesn't it make sense that proper formation for a priest would be to have God as his father and, of course, Mary as his mother? And both, you know, of course, and Jesus, of course, to have seen me is to have seen the Father. So again, we have the strong masculine image of Jesus and God the Father. We also, though, have the beautiful feminine in that Mary is a mother to us and helps us to be better formed and more well-rounded, if you will.
Okay. Interesting. So I have a question for both of you. For you, Monsignor, in your seminary training, and then Jerry's in seminary right now, is a Mariology course, is that required? Or do some seminaries have it, some don't? I mean, I'm actually curious.
Monsignor, you can go first.
Yeah, well, you know, Jerry, I went to seminary 40 years ago. And things were different then. The rosary was being frowned upon, and there was a lot of suppression of anything Marian. Now, I will say the particular seminary I went to was pretty decent. They didn't punish you for saying the rosary. I mean, I knew some guys in other seminaries had to go hide to pray the rosary together. I mean, you had to literally hide. Wow. I mean, that was a terrible, terrible time in the church. So I would say that, no, we didn't have any courses on Mariology per se. I hope that's different now. But maybe, Jerry, you know more about that seminary scene than I do.
Well, actually, my first go-around in the seminary was 30 years ago, Monsignor, so I experienced a little bit of what you're talking about, how the rosary was frowned upon. Now in my my current seminary at Pope St. John the 23rd in Boston, we did have an elective, a Marian elective last semester, spring semester of last year. I did not take it because I had another course, but I would agree with you wholeheartedly, Monsignor. I would not consider advancing another split second on this journey without having our Blessed Mother as my spiritual mother, the mother of my, God willing, my priesthood one day, and just the mother of my whole entire spiritual life and my relationship with her son, Jesus. So I could just wholeheartedly concur with everything you were sharing.
Mm, wow. All right. Blessed be God.
That's interesting. See, I did not know that. I thought it would just be mandatory that you had to go through a Mariology class. That is so interesting. Mm-hmm. See, we learned something on the show, right?
Let me just mention
real
quickly.
Yeah, I don't know the current curriculum.
You
mentioned it as an elective, Jerry, but it should really, when you think about it, is because, you know, first of all, not only is Mary's role central, but also highly debated among other Christian groups, that we ought to be pretty well schooled in Mariology.
Yeah, there's so much. And, I mean, the liturgical year, the feast days that we celebrate, and so much preaching is required in catechesis from the pulpit and in OCIA and other places that I agree with you. And not only Mariology, but apologetics. I wish there was more apologetics in practical apologetics in seminary and so forth. Let me just sneak in a quick announcement here, Monsignor, before we get back to you. And that is, we would just like to encourage people, it is a new year. We're starting that here today. Happy New Year to you, all of the Take Two family and the EWTN family. Just a reminder that as this new year starts, please, if you have not done so already, please make a point of praying for EWTN every day. Obviously, the work that we do is, I like to say that the Catholic radio and television has what, objectively speaking, is the most important content of all media on the face of the earth, and that is the fullness of truth of our Catholic faith. And that sets us up sometimes for, attacks by the enemy and discouragement and things like that. So please make a point to pray every day for EWTN radio and television, if you would be so kind, and in particular for all of us here at the Take Two family. We'd be grateful for that.
Absolutely. So in the final few minutes that we have with you, Monsignor, we definitely ask all our guests to our priests and deacons to give us a blessing and to start the new year off right, and that's what we want, and that's why we asked you to be on the show today, and you so wonderfully agreed to do this, and we so appreciate it, because you are a busy, busy priest and pastor. You are, and you always make time for us.
Busy.
I know, but you're wonderful about that. But in the few minutes that we have left, is there anything on your heart that you want to share with all of our listeners? As you know, we have a worldwide platform. We're starting a new year. So many folks are nervous about the future. They're still worried about the past. You've written all these books, all your blog, everything, to try and help us along this spiritual journey. Anything you want to share, if you could just like proclaim it to the world, the recipe for a successful new year.
All right. Well, I'll tell you this. So today's also New Year's Day. And we last night, if some people stayed up late to ring in the new year, in my parish, by the way, we have a midnight mass. It actually starts at 11:15, and I ended the homily just before midnight. And when the tower bell rings, and we stand and sing a hymn of praise to Jesus, and we ring in the new year that way. So anyway, but wherever you were, this number 2026 flashes. 2026. What's the meaning of that number? 2026 AD, Anno Domini. It is the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2026. So even unbelievers, when they write down 2026 on their check or whatever they're writing, they had to put a date on, are referencing Jesus. Mm-hmm. History is his story. And I would say that, so remember today is, even though a lot of people think of New Year's as a kind of a secular day, it really has a religious significance because we're starting another year of our Lord. And just one other quick question that sometimes comes up about that. Well, if it is 2026 since the birth of Christ, 2026 years, since the birth of Christ, why isn't New Year's Day on Christmas Day a week ago? And the answer is, I think, also still tied up in the church, namely that there's an octave to Christmas. And an octave means that although there's, 8 days in an octave, it's really one long day. And so now the octave of Christmas having been completed, that is to say, Christmas Day, all week long we've been singing, "Today is born our Savior." And if you want to be funny, you can say, "Oh, it's not really today, it was day before yesterday." But no, today, it's all today. These 8 days are really one long day. Now that eighth day having been completed, Christmas Day is over and the calendar flips. And we're into 2026, the year of our Lord. So I just want to just say that's a great glory of this day as well, okay? And what a better place to be than at the feet of our mother on the beginning of a new year of our Lord Jesus, 2026. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. In fact, the looks you get sometimes when you're out, say, in the grocery store or something on December 26th or 27th or 28th and you wish somebody a Merry Christmas, they look at you, Monsignor, like you have two heads. And that's partly because they understand Christmas to be so much of a detached from faith and religion that, it seems like the world wants to put Christmas away at noon on December 25th, and we're just getting started. This is one of the glorious realities of our faith, I think.
Indeed. And, Christmas is just a mispronunciation of Christ Mass. And holiday is just a mispronunciation of Holy Day. So the world sort of imitates or apes us out of, it's our day. It is our day. It's our week. It's our 12 days, if you want to go a little further into the tradition, all the way up to Epiphany, right? So all of these are aspects of our history that the world is just sort of giving lip service to.
Yeah. Wow. This was such a powerful discussion. Thank you so much, Monsignor. You are just a wealth of spiritual nuggets that is lodged in that big brain of yours. It's amazing. Thank you for sharing it with us. And I've always said this, I love starting the new year off January 1st, a holy day of obligation. And it's the first day of the year, and we're starting it off in Mass, honoring Our Lady. I mean, it's just incredible. It's so funny. Yes. It's just, as a side note, my mother-in-law's birthday was January 1st. And I used to say to her all the time, "Mom, you're so lucky you have January 1st. She goes, "I know, it's on the Feast of Mary, Mother of God." And it's really quite incredible. But anything else, Jerry, you wanted to share before we get ready to close this beautiful pre-recorded broadcast that our producer, Michael McCall, put together for our Take Two family?
Well, Monsignor, you heard me make the little bit of a plug for people to pray for EWTN, and I know you and your ministry and all priests and really anyone doing the work of God, ministry, teaching, preaching, catechesis, I know you would heartily echo the fact that, prayers are really needed. It's kind of the foundation. It's the oxygen that we all breathe in order to keep doing what God calls us to do.
Yeah, and of course, the Word of God is not just, we studied in theology, that the Word of God is not just noetic, it's dynamic. In other words, it's not just information, it's transformation. And that the Word of God doesn't just inform, it performs, and therefore it transforms. And so when this Word goes out on the Eternal Word TV and radio network and all of the subsidiaries like GRN and others, I tell you, people hear this word, and it has a power far greater than you and I imagine, and seeds are being planted. People will never meet, hear our voices, and hear other voices here from this radio going forth, and lives are touched. And it may not even bear fruit in an obvious way right away, but, just like you put a seed in the ground, it doesn't immediately pop up to be a full-grown oak tree. It takes time, but something happens. And so I hope that the good people of God will remember to be generous, because we reach people through both radio and podcasting and other ways these messages go out. We reach people, and sometimes unawares, like they're just tuning their radio and they hear some crazy priest talking about Mary and or, you know, what have you. And they stop and listen a few minutes. And even if they scoff and turn away, something, they heard something. And that word that goes forth cannot but bear some sort of fruit in them.
Amen. Monsignor, can we get a quick blessing from you before we close this wonderful broadcast together?
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God in this new year of our Lord, 2026, may it go forth now to all of you, and may the peace and blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Monsignor Charles Pope. We appreciate your time so much. We know you're busy. For you to make time for us is a great honor for us and our listeners. We are back live with you, Take Two family, tomorrow. It's the first Friday, and on the first Fridays, we started this a couple of years ago, we talk about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. After that, whom or what are you praying for on Monday? We got a lot of other show topics, and if you've ever liked to recommend one, just email them to us, take2@ewtn.com. Our blessed thanks to Michael McCall, our producer, the show team, everybody behind the scenes at EWTN. For Debbie Giorgiani, I am Jerry Usher, wishing you a most beautiful and blessed Happy New Year from all of us here at EWTN. God bless.